the devil and demons. Very little teaching on this matter. I haven't taught on it myself for a long time. In fact, this is the first series I've taught on it. I have mentioned things here and there, so have most ministers. But this is a very, very important subject. In fact, right there in Mark, let's go to Mark 16. Jesus left us a command. This is part of the Great Commission. Huh? Not just go preach the gospel and get people born again, which we've done some of that. But why haven't we done this other part? Mark 16. Verse number 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just the pastor and the prophet and the evangelist and all that. This sign shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? These signs are supposed to follow you. What signs? In my name. What's the first sign? They shall cast out devils. That's the first sign. Hallelujah. So you have to know how. You have to know about demons, demonology, the devil, and that's what we are being assigned to do, to talk to you about it. So that you can carry out this commission. It's a command. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So we've talked about this. We're this is lesson number 19, I think. And so we've been on it for a while. So we're not gonna necessarily have time to review all of that. You go to Facebook and we've got some past messages on there that you can catch up with. When we closed last week, I was talking to you about how that basically demonic influence starts with suggestions, okay? And then the suggestions can lead to oppression on your body in terms of sickness and disease. And then that can progress to obsession, where that you are enjoying the pleasure of sin, forgetting that it's only for a season, and you get obsessed with it, and you start to head towards possession. So obsession is your mind, possession is when your spirit, soul, and body is taken over. Okay, and so we talked about that, and then we closed by that. Well, actually, week before, last week we gave you a couple of examples of how that you can go from demonic influence and cast that aside and sell out to God, and also how that you can do that journey in reverse. Paul started out as an apostle of the devil. We told you the devil wants apostles. He wants evangelists. He even has a false Christ. He wants to anoint people with the power that he has stolen from other people. The devil, God didn't give the devil any power. He got it from people. Okay. That's another, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so Saul went from persecuting Christians, killing them, which obviously was motivated by the devil. Demons put him to that. He went from that and flipped and became an apostle of the Lord Jesus, the anointed one. Okay, Judas, on the other hand, went from being a disciple of Jesus, a trusted member of the Jesus cabinet, you might say, like I said earlier. Okay. And then, of course, went back and yielded himself to the devil. Bible says the devil entered him. How come? Because he gave the devil permission. And in a between, so that journey can, you can travel one way and then travel the other. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to what I'm going to talk to you today about. From the title, The Devil and Demons Only Respect Force. They don't respect suggestions. They respect force. They respect commands. Commands in the name of Jesus. Not suggestions. Whoo, glory. So let's start by saying this. Even when you get to the point of being possessed, if you get to the point of being possessed by the devil, okay, you cannot be so far gone in that direction that you can never, ever come back to Jesus. Oh, yes, you can. And a classic example of that is Mark chapter 5. Again, we've looked at this many times, but let's do that again. Mark chapter 5 is a classic example of how that the devil might possess you, take you over, but he can't take you over so much that you can never, ever again have a way back to Jesus. Can't do that. So Mark chapter 4, Jesus just, this is where he commanded a stone to be still and so on. He was headed to the other side on assignment. So like I said, this is why the devil can't kill you. We're on assignment. You know, whoo, glory. Amen. All right. So he had to go over the other side because he was called to go deliver this guy. And the devil stirred up all that storm to try to stop him. But as you know, he just woke up, rebuked the winds, rebuked the storms, and went on anyway. So Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, the boat, immediately. Interesting. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You read that story. This man was possessed. I mean, they put chains around him. He cut it. They couldn't contain him. Threw him out there in the caves and so forth. He was wailing and gnashing his teeth like a bunch of coyotes or something. This guy was way gone, but he wasn't too far gone to come back to Jesus. Glory to God. And so he comes running. Verse 6. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped. He worshipped. Listen, the devil is not all that he wants you to think he is. I mean, if this guy, in the condition he was, and I didn't read all the scriptures, you can read that, the verses in between. The condition he was, can still run up to Jesus and worship. Your case is nowhere near this. He came and he worshiped. And cried with a loud voice and said, welcome. Now, to understand the scripture properly, when you get to the end of verse 6, skip and go to verse 8. Because what's said in verse 8 happened before verse 7. So he comes running, worshiping Jesus, and Jesus recognized that he was demon-possessed. So he says, come out of him. Like I said, the devil respects force. This is not a suggestion. Okay? That's a hint. That's how you are to cast out devils. Like Mark 16, 17 commands that you do. You don't suggest. You give a command. Come out of him. Hallelujah. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And then the unclean spirit began to, he used the man's voice to say what's recorded in verse 7. That's what actually happened. The unclean spirit didn't want to come out. He knew he had to. He didn't want to. But he had to. And you need to know that. When you give the command in the name of Jesus, he's got to come out. Don't be fazed by any kind of drama that takes place. And sometimes those devils threw up in the dust and did all kind of stuff. That didn't face Jesus. And it ought not face you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so then the unclean spirit began to use the man's voice and say, oh, please, what? Leave us alone. Don't do this. And later they were begging the beggar, please leave us down. Don't send us out of this country and so forth. Okay? So again, Jesus used force. The demons respect force, and you can't be so far gone that there's no hope for you. Okay, mm-hmm. And so if you encounter someone in this shape, just know this: in the name of Jesus, as a believer, you have authority to command that demon to get out of there, mm-hmm. And it will. It has to. It has to. It has to. I said it has to. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, all right, so you can't be so far gone being possessed by the devil that you can't find a way to Jesus. But I also have to tell you this other part of it. You can't be so full of God that the devil loses any avenue of attack, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. Full of God, full of God, full of God, yes. You can be full of God, but the devil can still have access to you. And unfortunately, you are still able to yield to him, to yield to his suggestions, and yield to oppression and obsession, and even go as far as being possessed. Unfortunately, it can happen. It is possible. It's not probable for most of us, but I have to tell you, it is possible. Well, the case of Judas exemplifies it, does it not? Here he is, an apostle, a disciple, one of the 12, a treasurer, and he goes and betrays Jesus. The devil never loses access to us. Just like God never loses access to any human being, the devil also never loses access. But the good news is, in the name of Jesus, we can always resist. Amen. Forcefully resist. That's the good news. Glory, glory, glory. Wow. Didn't know if I should go here, but I will. Look, Hebrews chapter 6. Let me give you scripture about how that, it's possible to know the Lord and walk with him. And then just turn around and deny everything you ever knew and so forth. Again, like I said, it's not probable. Most of us, 99.99999% of Christians are not going to do this. But some might. In fact, like I've said before, and I've taught on this, 99.99% of Christians not many percentage, 90%, I'd say, of Christians, whatever percentage would be appropriate, don't even qualify to get in this shape. But Hebrews chapter 6. Here is an accounting of how that it is possible to backslide big time. Okay? But again, look at the qualifications. For it is impossible for those, not everybody, not every Christian. For those Christians who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, people who are saved and filled with the Spirit. Well, what's the percentage of Christians that are filled of the Spirit? Not a lot, especially in the West, right? Pentecostals, charismatics, but I mean, there are many other denominations of Christians that think tongues of the devil and all of that. And so they wouldn't even qualify. Preachers wouldn't even qualify. Full of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, they have tasted the good word of God. What does that mean? They have taken the word of God, applied it, and seen it work. In other words, these folks know this is not no religion. This is for real. This stuff works. They know it. Many Christians don't really know that. They just go to church, come back home, live carnally during the week, go to church, come back home. They haven't matured in the faith. And so they wouldn't qualify. And so these folks also know the powers of the world to come. We'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. Now, if this kinds of Christians fall away, it would be impossible to renew them again unto repentance. How would they fall away? Suggestions of the devil. That's how the work of demons, suggesting, okay, and getting them obsessed and eventually get to the point where they turn around and say, I don't believe that and all that. Okay. So my point is, just like you can't get so far away from God and be possessed by the devil to the point where God has no access to you, you also can't be so full of God that the devil has no access to you. But the good news is, amen, you can resist. You can say no. The devil has to respect the name of Jesus. So can you lose your salvation? Yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, you can, but it's not nearly as easy to do as Pentecostals think. I just read you the scripture. Not as easy to do. Okay? You can't lose your salvation just because you're a carnal Christian and living fleshly and so forth. That's not recommended. You live on hell on this earth. You know, not recommended. But you can't, you can't, you know, lose your salvation because you're overcome by your flesh. Listen, God is not looking to disown children, okay? Mm-hmm. He's looking for more of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to count that to the love of God and to his immeasurable mercy and patience with all of us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's why it's not easy to lose your salvation. Not because of us, because of him. You have to knowingly turn your back on Jesus. Not because you just couldn't live the life. Now, I'm not suggesting that you live like the devil. I'm telling you, you go to the heaven early. And besides that, you live on her on earth. I'm not recommending that, okay? So, yes, you can lose your salvation, but it's not nearly as easy as some Pentecostals think. Can you lose your salvation? No, you can't lose your salvation, but it's not nearly as impossible as Baptists think. Okay? Once they've always said, yeah, but. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you can get to the point, like we just read here, for that you turn your back on Jesus and so forth. Lord, I want me to point that out. All right. So a born-again believer can be influenced and oppressed by the devil, can obsess, and even eventually be possessed. Again, not likely, not probable, but possible. Okay? By a demon if they do not resist the devil. If they take his suggestions and flow with him to the next stage, and the next stage, and the next stage, and the next stage. You give the devil an inch, and he will take you a mile. Again, the good news is, at any point in time, you can turn around and say, no, not anymore. Not anymore. I'm going for Jesus. I'm going back to Jesus. So, the believer is protected by the blood of Jesus. But they have to be aware of it, and they have to forcefully take their place. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 11. Let me show you the scripture. Matthew 11. The devil respects only force. Not pretty please. Matthew 11. Look at verse 12. Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven suffereth or allows violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. Every redemptive privilege you have, everything Jesus died and paid for you to have, you have to have this attitude of possessing it by force.
Amen.
Because you have an adversary who is going to try to challenge you every step of the way. Think of the prodigal son, what we call the prodigal son. Once he decided to go back home, don't you imagine that was easy? It wasn't. The devil dogged him every step of the way. Thoughts of condemnation. How dare you, after what all you've done? You know, you squandered you told your dad off and got all his money, went and squandered it and all that. How dare you? Don't go. In fact, tell you what, a demon told him, I tell you what, the best thing for you to do is probably just kill yourself. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I bind that spirit of suicide right now. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You've been hearing something, some voice tell you to kill yourself. You tell that voice, no! In the name of Jesus. Jesus lost me, and I'm not going to do that. The devil have no doubt told the prodigal son, don't bother. Go. How dare you? Just forget it. They don't know who you are. And just kill yourself and get it over with. That's a demon. And we'll call it suicidal ideation. And we'll give all of these medical terms and so on. And the folks in the world don't know better. But those of us who are born again Christians that know the word of God know that's a demon. Mm-hmm. That's not just some ideation. Mm-hmm. Demon putting those thoughts in the minds of that individual, that child, that teenager. That's what's going on. And they should have one of us lay hands on them and cast that thing out. Jesus told you to do it as a believer. This sign shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. We're busy sending folks to therapy and so on. I'm not knocking therapy. Don't get me wrong. Some cases you should be laying on of the hands and casting out the demon. That's what should happen. To set the captives free. Jesus wants us to help people. Amen. Amen. That's the bottom line of all of that. All right. And so the kingdom of God suffers a lot of violence, and the violent take it by force. You have to seize what Jesus died and paid for you to have. Because you have an enemy that's going to do his level best to make sure, number one, you don't know about what you have in Jesus. And number two, you don't ever get to it. And I've sent to tell you so you know what you have in Jesus. And so you can exercise your right to get it. John chapter 14, verse 30. The Bible says, Jesus says, the prince of this world has come, has nothing in me. Why? Because Jesus would not let the prince of this world have anything in him. Who is the prince of this world? It's the devil. He's referred to as the prince of this world in many, many places. Who made him the prince of this? It wasn't Jehovah. It wasn't God. He stole that status from Adam and Eve. But he's on a leash. He's on a leash. He's going to be over. And he's going to be thrown in a lake of fire. Where he'll burn forever and ever without being consumed. Don't pity the devil. I mean, reflect on all the stuff he's done. To you too. And folks, you know. Oh no, I'm looking forward to him being thrown in that lake. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, the church can stand in the gap and hold at bay the work of the devil, the work of his spirits against believers. A local congregation can do that. Groups of believers can do that. And the scriptures instruct us to do that. Look at Romans chapter 8. The Bible tells us to pray. One of the reasons why the Lord wants you to feel the Spirit, speak in the other tongues so you can pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. That's what it means. To pray in tongues, to pray in the Spirit, is to pray in tongues. That means that you are, now you can have an unction to pray in English or Spanish or whatever, but pray in the Spirit. In fact, I'll show you that 1 Corinthians 14 talks about, okay? So Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Well, let's just cut down to 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. We can make intercession for the saints. The unction of the Holy Spirit can give us the sounds to make. We can pray in the Spirit, because when we do that, let's keep reading. Make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we pray perfectly. That's the only way to pray perfectly. Suddenly, you can have an unction of the Spirit and pray, again, like I said, in English and so forth. But regularly, at will, you can pray in the Spirit, and you will know, without a doubt, that you're praying the perfect will of God for believers, whoever they may be. I mean, how would you know to do that without praying in tongues? How would you know to pray for believers in Bolivia or something? You don't know. their situation. But all you can just start praying in tongues. Namanenge mbront ikatala motsota. And maybe the Lord will bring to you the country of Bolivia. And you mention it. Okay? And what you're doing is you're holding at bay the works of evil spirits and demons. You are in their way. You're stopping them from doing what they would otherwise be free to do. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible also tells us that we can help believers. Supplication. Ephesians 6, look at verse number 18. This is part of the armor of the believer that is listed. We could have begun to read from verse 13, but the interest of time, we'll just jump into 18. Okay? It's a part of the armor of the believer. Praying always. How can you do that? Tongues are necessary, useful. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How are you going to pray for all saints? All of the saints in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, North America, South America, islands of the sea. How are you going to do that? In tongues. That's the only way you can pray for all saints in tongues. And when you do them upon, when you do that, you are holding at bay the works of demons and evil spirits. You are getting in their way. You're stopping them from doing what they'll otherwise do. You know, since I read this again, praying in the Spirit, I've been prompted by the Lord to actually show you that scripture. I didn't show you when I just talked about it. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me show you that praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. There's no other way around that. Again, like I said, you can have an unction of the Spirit when you're praying in English, where the words just kind of tumble out of your mouth. Before you even have time to think about what you say, it just comes flowing. Okay, that's an unction of the Spirit. And I've been there many times. But this is different. This is a notch above that. Glory to God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's see here. Look at verse number 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. See that? I mean, if I pray in an unknown tongue, it is my spirit that is praying. Therefore, praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. Okay? I wanted to show you that. All right. And so again, the God can use a body of believers to check the power of the devil. And to get in the way of the devil, which is why we were encouraged to pray for one another. Okay? Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. In this case, it tells us, lets us know how powerful prayers of believers can be. James chapter 5, look at verse 14. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. So there is a group of elders of the church, okay? And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So he'll get healed. And then he says, and the Lord shall raise him up. And then he says, and if he have committed any sins, if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What? Wow. Did you get that? A group of elders praying when you call for them, they pray for you. If you've committed sins, because of their prayer, God will forgive you those sins. He didn't say if you repent for those sins. He says when they pray. My goodness. Powerful. Believers pray for each other. Okay? Alright, so the church can stand in the gap and hold at bay the work of evil spirits against believers when we pray. Okay? On the other hand, oh my. On the other hand, the church can also withdraw from the gap and leave a believer to his own fate. Ooh, that's also scripture. That's also scripture in certain cases. It's, oh my. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. The church can withdraw its participation in the life of a believer under certain circumstances. And lift them up to the devil. Ooh. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Alright, here's an example. No, I don't know if you know this, but the Nehemiah says chapter 4, that's not anointed. That was not in the original scriptures, right? Bible translators put that in to help us, locate scripture for one another, okay? So sometimes when you're reading, you read the end of one verse. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you look at chapter 4, okay, verse 21 should be a part of chapter 5, okay? Because verse 20 actually ends the thought that the apostle has been on. Verse 21 belongs to chapter 5. And so that's where chapter 5 should have started. And so don't stop arbitrarily when you're reading the scripture sometimes. You get to the end of a chapter. Don't stop because, it says chapter 10 or chapter 11. Keep reading to see whether or not, that the thought has continued and that the translators may have made a mistake. Okay? And so here, let's start from chapter 4, verse 21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? So now that lets you know that something really bad has happened. And the apostle is contemplating how to correct the awful thing that has happened, which is why verse 21 belongs to the chapter. But once you get reading, you will see why. Shall I come to you with a rod or in love? And in the spirit of meekness. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Even the Gentiles are ungodly, don't do this. That one should have his father's wife. Incest. Incest. And then it says, and ye have puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that had done this thing might be taken away from among you. Ooh. All right. So I told you the church can stand in the gap and prevent the devil from having his way where believers are concerned. But on the other side of it is the church can take itself out and say, hey, this person is not going to listen. They're not wanting to repent at all. Let's just leave them alone and let them receive the fate they deserve. Ooh, my. When was the last time you heard that in church? I haven't thought that either. But that's what the apostle said. That's what you should do in this case. For I verily, as absent in body, verse 3, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning this individual, that in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, when you are gathered together, here's what you should do, and my spirit, with power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Oh my. Oh my. you can't cut that and throw that out either. That's also part of scripture. Amen. Deliver this one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I'll leave you hanging. I better not, right? Woo! The apostle says, turn this believer over to the devil. My. My. Your glorying is not good. The church was... Okay. Know you not that a little leaven, leavened the whole lump. In other words, what this person has done is going to affect the entire church. Which is why this drastic remedy is called for. Okay. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As ye own leaven. For even Christ the Anointed One, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet, I didn't mean the fornicators of the world, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with the idolaters. For then, if I had told you that, you'd have to get out of the world not to have to do that. But that's not what I meant. But now, I have written unto you not to keep company of any man. See, talk about this individual. Any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, don't even eat. Wow. Now, it's not talking about brother that fell in sin and so forth. It's talking about someone that persists in it. Huh? For what have I to do to judge them that are outside the body of Christ? Do not ye judge them that are in the body? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among you yourself this individual. This wicked. Okay, you get the point? Wicked. This sin is of such magnitude, that is a sin of such dishonor, that it will impact the church. And so Paul says, get rid of it. In fact, I want to mention this. I won't have time to go into it. But this was... This was a death sentence. For another truth. Oh, yeah. Hand him over to the devil. We are called to cast out the devil from those that have been afflicted. But if a member of the church will be like this, okay, then we have to do the opposite with this individual. And again, my time is up. I will get into this in more detail next week. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If not, my friend, no better day than this one. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Not tomorrow. Do it right now. What does it take, you say? It takes simple faith, belief, and sincerity. Okay? So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you pray sincerely and mean it from your heart, at the end of it, you'll be saved. In fact, you'll be saved within the prayer itself. So say this with me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I believe that you died for my sins, that you were raised from the dead, that you are seated on the right hand of the Father. And I invite you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction to a local body of believers, a church where I can belong. I receive healing. I receive direction. Excuse me. For the rest of my life.
Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. I pray this prayer in His name. Amen and amen. Excuse me. If you pray that prayer, you meant it, my friend. You just got born again. Excuse me. And if you live in anywhere around here in the Austin area, my voice, I guess I've been too excited. You're welcome to come worship with us. We'll be back in our place of worship next Sunday. if not, keep watching. Because we'll be back here at the exact same time next week. Until then, be a Berean and live the victorious life. Amen. Goodness.